In the last 10 years, our field has gone from an unknown specialty to a household name. This brings unprecedented opportunities, but we need to rise up to meet them and give our patients the care that they deserve. In order to help others get better, we need to be better. This podcast will help you to become more confident with your patients, more successful in your practice or business, and a leader in pelvic health. And we're gonna have some fun along the way. Join us as we rise together. We're Jesse and Nicole Cozine, founders of Pelvic Sanity Physical Therapy and the creators of the Pelvic PT Huddle. And this is Pelvic PT Rising.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Pelvic PT Rising podcast with Jesse and Nicole Cozine. Hey Nicole.
Hello.
Well, we are going to be talking today about should you add another revenue stream to your business. But before we do, got to peel back the curtain for a little bit, and we got a couple of exciting announcements. Peeling back the curtain, recording a podcast in the Cozine house is kind of a shit show.
It's a total shit show, especially since Clay's been born. I mean, I feel like we used to have a nice setup and, you know, do it at a time when it was super convenient for us. And now it's like we're trying to do it in a guest bedroom where I also have to do work, and it's like a disaster.
Where Clay's asleep, where we've got a cat who's begging at the door to come in and thinks that this is her immediate time to come up and get love because we're not going anywhere for the next 20 minutes as we talk to you guys. And, of course, the moment I say, cool, are you ready to record, Nicole, every single freaking time has to go poop.
That is very true. And I think it's because I get my coffee, I have some sips, and then it takes us a while to get set up because it's a shit show around here. And then it actually is a shit show when I have to go to the bathroom. And then Jesse's like, are you serious? And I'm like, yeah, just give me a second. Hold on. I do actually have to go. I can't not go right now.
So that's how every podcast starts for me.
And me, really.
Yes. So that is, just wanted to peel back the curtain there for you guys. We are not in some fancy studio doing this. We are right here. So, and if you hear any purring in the background, that is Mitty running around here. So, dude, Nicole, it's retreat week.
It is retreat week. We're super excited that another group of folks from our Rising Mentorship group is coming out to San Clemente. We are going to be doing 2 days of programming. We're going to be hanging out. We're going to be going to a wine bar. We're going to be going on a boat. We are really excited for that. It's always just really great to see everybody meet each other for the first time and connect and make friends. And it's just really cool. The whole group all weekend is just a ton of like, oh, you get me. Like, you get me, I get them, they get us. Like, it's just really cool. And they get each other. And it's just, you can't really talk about a lot of this stuff with a lot of other people, except for the small group of people that are coming out. And it's really not even that small.
Yeah, 31 people this time coming out. So it's going to be so much fun. And you're right, Nicole, on multiple levels, we all get each other. On the pelvic health practitioner level, and then on the business owner level. And that's just not something that you can necessarily share with everybody in your life. Sometimes business ownership can be a little bit lonely. So it is awesome to have these folks out, make connections. It seriously is our favorite weeks of the year, the CEO retreat, and now this Rising Mentorship retreat. I can't wait for it. You guys also know Nicole is doing a masterclass on the vagus nerve and how to treat that and all the different things you can do with that. Check that out at pelvicptrising.com/vagus. That's coming out later in the month. So all the announcements done, telling you all the behind the scenes stuff done. Nicole, should I add another revenue stream to my business?
Yes. This is a question that we get a ton, both in our mentorship groups and just in our Pelvic PT OT Entrepreneur group. And honestly, I see it a ton on Instagram, and I get a lot of Instagram DMs about like, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. Essentially, can I pick your brain? And we wanted to come on this podcast and sort of set the record straight and give it to you straight, really, about what this means and what are the pros and cons and what you guys should really be thinking about if this has crossed your mind. And I'm sure it has, because honestly, I think one of the big problems and one of the myths that we want to address is that when you're looking at other people do things, And most of the time, this is coming from social media. We have a lot of comparisonitis. We have a lot of, ooh, she's doing that or they're doing that. I think that I might be able to do that too, or I think I should do that too. And then you combine that with some of the essentially marketing tactics and buzz phrases from people saying things like, stop the grind and stop trading your time for money and scale and leverage your time better and all this stuff. And most of the time they are talking about adding another revenue stream. The problem is that we need to talk about, is that really revenue generating, number one? And number two, is that really the right move for you?
So if in a vacuum, Nicole, should I add another revenue stream? I mean, if you've got a magic revenue stream wand, then by all means, wave it. Like, I would love to just like magically create revenue streams. The problem is that these are a ton of work. Passive income, quote unquote, does not exist. And so we want to talk about the two different ways to be able to do this. But you're right, Nicole, it's the assumption is, oh, this is easy money or easier money. It's passive. I don't have to work for it. The first thing that we always say about this, and this is interesting because we have, a unique perspective, Nicole, because we've done a lot of different revenue streams and we know that they can work. And we also know how much time and effort and energy goes into it. And we can really confidently say the things that we're saying in this podcast because we've tried a lot of things. We'll go into some of those in a little bit here. But our advice on this, and it was given to us actually by a mentor of ours, Donald Miller, a long time ago, but it is almost always more economical to maximize what you are currently doing than to go try to build something else. It's almost always more economical to maximize what you're currently doing than try to go build something else. So he uses a great example that I've stolen over the years is, you know, if you went to a farmer's market and you had apple pie that you were selling and you went down there and you sold out of apple pie and everybody was talking about your apple pie and you did really, really well with that. What do you do when you come back next week? Do you come back and sell croissants? Like, no, what are we talking about? We have to maximize this apple pie situation. So great, we do a better job of marketing. We put somebody at the front of the farmer's market and give out little slices of our apple pie. We bundle our apple pie so you can buy one for you and one for your mom. We do things where we deliver an apple pie to you. We maximize what is working in the business before we even think about doing other things. You know, the alternative is like, hey, I've got this great apple pie. Everybody's loving it. Everybody's talking about it. You know what I should do is make chicken dumplings. Wait, what? Like, that's a total different business that you just decided to create. So it is almost always going to be more economical, better dollar for your time, better ROI to maximize what's already working, what you've already proven will work in your community, with your audience, with the people who know you, than it is to try to go out and do something brand new.
Yes. And then this is where, Jesse, I'm actually going to ask you this question. So do you think people are able to accurately decide what their apple pie is?
Well, I mean, at this point, for most of the people listening, if you have a brick and mortar or a mobile clinic where you are providing pelvic health services, that's your apple pie.
Right. And so would something like do a birth course or that kind of thing, would that be considered more apple pie or is that a croissant?
That's a croissant, for
yes,
sure.
Yes, that is a freaking croissant, you guys.
Right? That's like your OB croissant deciding that they want to do brain surgery on you. Like, yes, they technically can, and it's kind of related. They went to medical school, but also you're going to them to have a baby. So the two sides of this, and when people think about this revenue piece, there's two sides here. There's like in-person offerings to your current audience, and there's this idea of like creating a new online business to reach people who are totally different audience than what you have right now. And I think I want to focus a little bit more in this podcast on that in-person offering. We've talked before about all of the challenges of doing a new online business. You know, oh, I'm going to create this course or program and I'm going to sell it to patients, or I'm going to create a course and program and sell it to public rehab providers. I'm going to do health coaching or telehealth or remote consultations. And all of that, we talked about this in a podcast before on should I create an online course? I mean, that is, we always like quoting Shante Cofield, the Movement Meister, on that. That's like an 18-month proposition. And we call it the ABCDs of business, where you are attracting an audience, you have to build trust, you have to convert them to a customer, and you have to deliver. You are literally building an entirely new business, entirely new customer base, entirely new product. Everything is just brand new. Like, literally, you are starting from scratch.
And an entirely new skill set needed to support that endeavor. Like, I don't think that many people quite understand, except for those of us who have done it, I don't think that most of y'all that are thinking that this like looks easy and that you're just going to do it, like, I don't think you understand like the actual amount of different skills it takes to do that successfully.
Absolutely. So that's one side of this, is doing something new and online and doing all that stuff. One of the first questions we always ask is like, well, what kind of audience do you have? And a lot of times it's not a huge international audience that you are sending your stuff out to. So, you know, more people are probably interested here, maybe not more people interested, but I think it's a lot more feasible for folks to be thinking about, at least adding in-person offerings to what you're currently doing. So this is croissants and not chicken dumplings, right? It's at least closer to apple pie. There's flour in both of them. So things like group classes at your place, or subletting a room to another provider, or providing some sort of personal training or massage therapy, or selling products. And all of those are potential other revenue streams. I think the challenge, Nicole, that as we kind of talk about how to think about those, is yes, they're often something that you can do, and we'll go through how to decide whether it's something you really want to do. But in general, I would say that those end up being more effort for less revenue than what you're currently doing in seeing patients.
1000%. Like, that really is the truth of it. I mean, you could stop the podcast right here and be like, ooh, those are the things that you need to consider, is that the time and then the essentially return on that investment on time. And is the juice worth the squeeze? And a lot of times the answer is no, even though you might be thinking that you need to do this for some reason, because someone's told you it, or someone's telling you to diversify or something like that. And so we just wanted to, yeah, just like kind of blow open all of the, open the shades on this thing and let you guys know that the truth of the matter.
Well, let's give you a couple examples here, just from our own experience, right? Is selling products. We sell products at Pelvic Sanity. So full disclosure, we'll be very transparent with you guys on what we do. But for us, that's always been something that was basically as a patient service, right? You want to, Nicole, train somebody to use a wand, and then you realize that you would tell them to go buy a wand online, and it would take, they wouldn't do it for 3 weeks, and then it would take a week to get there. And now all of a sudden you've wasted a month when you wanted to just basically bust it open right there, show them how to use it before they take it home, and then they've already purchased it. So for us, it is a service to our patients. And so even at Pelvic Sanity, we probably sell about $1,000 a month, probably a little bit less in some months, of products. So you might be saying like, oh, cool, that's a great revenue stream, right? That's an extra $1,000 a month. That's $12,000 a year. Well, our margins on those things, by the time you take into account what we have to buy them for, what we have to pay in sales tax, what we have to pay for shipping, is probably about 25%. So we're now making $250 in profit on products and stocking a wide variety of things to make $250 a month. Now we're having to reorder from a whole bunch of different places. We're going around and doing all of that stuff. And remember that we are a relatively large clinic. We have 200 plus patients coming through every single week. So if you have a solopreneur with 20 patients coming through every single week, divide those numbers by 10. You've got this whole products thing that you put all this time and effort into so you can make $25 a month.
Right. So is that truly an effective revenue stream? The answer is no. You could still choose to do it because it serves another purpose, but we want you to go into something like that with your eyes wide open. The other thing is that we could make that maybe a little bit more successful at Pelvic Sanity, but then guess what? I'm on the ass of all of my employees, and that is not great either. I don't want to be like that. And so that's the other flip side of it. It's like, well, could we increase that? Sure. Would that move the needle? No. Do I want to do that? Definitely not. My employees probably definitely don't want me to do that. We just want you to like think about that. So even though the term revenue stream in that way, oh, I'm going to have a new product revenue stream, like sounds all sexy, it's like, it really is kind of more pain in the ass. And so you really have to decide, is that juice worth the squeeze?
Same thing for something like subletting, Nicole, is another one we get a lot on. And we should actually probably do a whole podcast on like the pros and cons of renting out a room to somebody. But, you know, cool, I can get, and we have rented out rooms to people, but it actually really works at Pelvic Sanity. We have a little 3-room annex or where my office is, and we have a 7-room like main clinic. So we rent out 2 of the rooms to some allied health providers who are awesome over in that annex. But people are often doing things like this and then finding that, wow, their lobby is really crowded. It's kind of a pain in the ass. They are unwilling to kick that person out when it's time to hire another clinician. They're saying like, hey, we're out of room. I was like, how are you out of room? You have 4 treatment rooms and 2 clinicians. Well, we rented these ones out, so we can't hire anybody. It's like, wow, talk about the tail wagging the dog there. So you were making $600 a month in rent, and now you're giving up $250,000 in potential patient revenue over the year of actually having a clinician in there. Like, that's the kind of thing where we're talking a lot of times about like opportunity cost, about is the juice worth the squeeze with that? Like, yeah, maybe it's not a terrible thing to have that, but is it really worth the pain in the ass that comes with just having other people in your space? A lot of times not.
For a lot of people, the answer is no. And so again, like, we just want to make sure that you are going into that eyes wide open. So it's, again, it can sound really amazing. Oh, I have this collective space and how nice. And like, at the end of the day, like, does that diversify the amount of revenue that you're bringing into the clinic? Sure. Is that a significant amount of revenue compared to what it would be if you had a clinician in there? Absolutely not.
Right. And the last one I want to talk about just a little bit is doing group classes or doing some sort of like birth prep class or something like this. And these can be great marketing things. And I don't think any of these are bad ideas. We'll talk about how to determine whether or not you should actually do one of these. But, you know, a group class, let's say you charged $50 per person for a group class. Well, now you've got to get 4 people in the room in order to make the same amount that you would have had to make for 1 patient coming in. Well, now you've got to, you know, market to and get 4 people booked. Now you've got people changing their schedules, canceling, moving around, right? And all of a sudden you put in 4 times as much effort to wrangle the patients for literally the same amount, right? Where's our ROI on that? Wouldn't it have been just easier to see them in a session and to call it an actual physical therapy or occupational therapy session and just do that? So one of the things, as we kind of go through the questions to ask yourself if you're thinking about doing this, 1, have you maximized your current business? Is your in-person, I'm assuming brick and mortar for a lot of you guys, or mobile, is that running as well as it can be? Have you totally capped that out? So some of the times when Nicole and I have branched out to do other things, it's because Pelvic Sanity was truly capped out. We had nowhere else to go. We had no more room to grow. We'd already been exploding out of our space. It's like, yeah, maybe we do have some time to do some other things because Pelvic Sanity is maxed.
Totally. And so that is one of the things that we want you to look at and be honest with yourself about that. And maxed means, are you seeing the maximum amount of patients that you want to be seeing with the amount of time that you want to be treating patients and truly maximizing your space? So if you have a 3-room clinic, then is that 3 rooms of your apple pie being serviced there?
Right. And that's not 3 part-time people who are there 2 days a week each and calling that full. Like, that's full-time equivalents, FTEs, as we talk about that. So have you maxed out your current business? Because it, again, will almost always be more economical to maximize what you're currently doing. 2 is, what's the opportunity cost? What are you giving up in order to do this? And whenever you're talking about your time, there is an opportunity cost. So what could you be doing with that same time, effort, energy, money, marketing that you're now pouring into trying to book your massage therapist that you hired? What if you put that same effort and energy into getting new pelvic floor patients in the door? Which one of those would actually be better for you and your business in the long run? The next one here, and this is a really important one, is this offering, especially if you're doing something in person, is this offering going to confuse or cannibalize your current space and what you're currently doing? Is this taking away from your apple pie sales? So in our analogy there, right, all of a sudden you do start selling croissants, and that's great. You have a second revenue stream, but that's all people who would have bought apple pie from you. So now your revenue stream, you sold an extra, 20 croissants, but you didn't sell an extra 20 apple pies. Or even worse, people come up to you and they're like, what the hell? Why is this booth selling both apple pie and croissant? I'm not going to do either one. I'm going to go across the way to the person selling pralines.
Pralines?
What's?
I don't even know what a praline is.
Food analogy. You didn't know what a dumpling was before this podcast.
Anyways, but the point is well taken, right? And I want you to really think about this because if, for instance, you have a pelvic health practice that is currently offering sessions to do birth prep, all right, for instance, or you have a pregnancy program, then if you offer a group class that is also birth prep slash push prep, whatever you guys call it, to a patient that doesn't know the business as much as we do or know pelvic floor therapy as much as we do, we know as practitioners that those two things can be different than you know that you're maybe putting in different things into each of those sessions, but a patient doesn't. And a patient will then be like, well, why would I want to pay $200 to go to this individual birth prep things when I can just go to this class, because they're assuming it's the same thing and it's less time and all the things. So again, that is confusing your potential client, or it's cannibalizing somebody that says, you know what, I'm going to try this other thing first and then see, right? And then if your birth prep group class is good, then they may be like, cool, I guess I really don't need to go to the better service essentially. So please, please, please ask yourself this question, especially if you are thinking that in Jesse's analogy here, it's a croissant and croissant is at least baking, or you even are trying to argue that what you're going to offer is a blueberry pie instead of an apple pie. You don't want to confuse or cannibalize the people that are coming in, right? So even in the case of the blueberry pie situation, even if you could make that argument and we would be like, okay, fine. If the person's only going to buy one pie, then you've still are having a problem.
Right. And now you went through the effort of figuring out a new recipe and getting new ingredients and all of that. That's a perfect analogy, Nicole, better than any of my food things. By the way, a praline is a confection containing nuts, usually almonds, pecans, and hazelnuts, and sugar. Cream is a common third ingredient. I actually did not know what a praline was either. Actually.
So anyway, those analogy good, busted. Though.
But those are better than pies. But that's a perfect example, Nicole, right? You start offering that and people aren't going to do both. So now you've cannibalized your primary business. And then I think the last thing that we want you guys to really consider is, what is your goal with your business? And it's one of the reasons that we love doing these retreats is when people come out or we do business coaching, we actually have people really do a deep dive into what they are trying to get from their business. How do we make this business work for you? So one of the things is, what is this going to do to your time? Especially if one of the reasons you started a business was so that you can spend more time with family or more time traveling or more time with self-care. And now all of a sudden you're adding in these group classes that run at 7 o'clock at night or on the weekends. Or you're trying to create this online course at all hours of the day, and now you have to turn into an online marketing expert and learn how to do Instagram for business and do all of these different things. And we hold up and we say, well, wait a second. Why did you start the business again? So you could spend more time with your young kids? How is creating this online course with maybe this pie in the sky? I've been waiting to use that one this whole time. This pie in the sky idea that it's going to be easy money for you that you can just do. How is that actually working out for you and what you want to do in the business? And a lot of times that really takes people aback, because you're right, Nicole, people just knee jerk into this because somebody told them it's something they should be doing or they need to diversify or some other buzzword. And you're asking, how does that actually work for you and your vision of how this business is supporting the life you want to live? And there's a big pause on the other end once you ask that question.
Totally. So Jesse, what would you say to somebody right here that's sort of feeling a little bit dejected, where they're like, oh my gosh, they're telling me that this actually isn't that great of an idea?
Yeah, don't feel dejected. You've got some fucking amazing apple pie. Like, be dejected if you had no business ideas and we were telling you this isn't a great idea, but And again, you can do whatever it is you want in your business. Nicole and I are all about that and building something that you really believe in, that you're passionate about. And sometimes these are just passion projects, and that's great. But then go into it with that knowledge, right? If you're doing something that's a passion project, for us, Nicole, the IC Solution, writing that book was a passion project.
Totally.
Right? We went into that knowing it was not going to be a moneymaker. And it was incredibly successful. It is incredibly successful. We sold more than 20,000 copies. There's like a... They've got an ebook version. They've got a, I still haven't even listened to. They've got an audiobook version. That seems like the wrong kind of book to listen to is an audiobook. I don't know. Maybe I'm an audiobook snob, but but I wouldn't want to listen to it as an audiobook. But I mean, we make like $800 a year on that, right? And on an objectively successful niche book that our publisher is really excited about how well it did. Our literary agent is beyond belief about how well it did. That's not a moneymaker, and we knew it wasn't going in, and that we were fine with that. So it doesn't mean that you can't do some of these things, but man, if we had gone into writing the IC Solution being like, man, this is going to be it. We're going to retire early because we published this book, we would have been really disappointed with the time that we put in. I mean, we figured this out one time, Nicole. We got paid something like 11 cents an hour to write that book.
Yeah, so ridiculous. But again, we're not sad that we did it. We just are glad that we didn't assume that that was going to be like our ticket type of a thing. And then the other thing that I'm going to say, just from a business perspective, is that if you're sitting there being like, but I really want to add a different service, or I really want to add something else to my business, then great. Then ask those questions. And also, sometimes we just need to change the lens instead of expecting that it's going to be revenue generating in the way that we thought it was by like truly like charging money for that service. Could we also then consider it being revenue generating from a marketing perspective? So if you're going to be offering those birth education classes, could we maybe rework those a little bit so that they allow you to get more people that would be appropriate for your apple pie? And so it's not that you need to do it as additional revenue stream, but could you turn that same idea into a marketing project that then allows you to maximize your brick and mortar pelvic rehab service, your apple pie?
100%. Whenever we hear people thinking about doing something else like that, that's one of our first questions is this a standalone moneymaker for you? Is that how you envision it? Or is this a marketing opportunity? And there's nothing wrong with doing something as a little bit of a loss leader for marketing, right? In our analogy there, that's the going up and handing out samples of your apple pie to every single person when they walk in, right? Yes, you lose a little bit of money on that. You're probably not making what you could have been making from that apple pie, but guess what? Those people are going to be walking back to your booth and being primed to get something from you. Same thing about doing something as a community event, doing something as a, you know, online little mini course, whatever that is. As long as you're clear that the goal is to feed into what your main business is. Keep the main thing the main thing.
Absolutely.
So I hope this has been helpful for you guys. I hope it hasn't been too negative about this stuff because, like we said, we don't want to be hypocritical. We've done a lot of these things, but we do want you going into it for the bachelor right reasons. And we want you not to be have these unrealistic expectations and be really frustrated when those don't come to fruition because, generally speaking, you're always going to be better off maximizing what you're currently doing, keeping the main thing, from a financial perspective. And if you have other non-financial reasons to do these, you have a passion for it, you think that it's something the community really needs, you just want to do something new and test yourself, that's freaking amazing. And some cool stuff can come from that. But just don't go into it with this idea that it's going to be passive, easy money, and this is going to be just wave the magic wand and you create a new revenue stream. It just doesn't work that way. So for those of you guys thinking about this, I hope it has been helpful. We would love to talk to you guys about this. It's one of the great things about business mentorship and having a coach to run some of this stuff by so you don't go way down these rabbit holes and waste time on this. If you are going to do this, you can flesh it out. You can have a really good idea of people who have done this before and seen all of this stuff. So it's one of the things we really love talking about. Feel free to reach out. We would love to keep this conversation going.
And let's continue to rise.